Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 12th. Joining us this morning is the executive director of the Humboldt Eureka Visitors Bureau.
Close enough.
Eureka Humboldt?
You got it.
Oh, man. You got to give me one of your new cards. Eureka Humboldt. Got close. Tony Smithers. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Are you the one responsible for the fog out there?
Yes. The people in Reading are very interested in coming over and soaking it up.
I can understand that one. In so many different ways, I can understand that one. Our quote this morning. Oh, that's a cool one. It is a proverb, Persian proverb. A broken hand works, but not a broken heart. I like that one. Too heavy for you?
I'm just trying to figure that out. But okay.
Oh, geez. So what's been keeping you busy in the middle of summertime here?
Is it the middle already? Oh, my goodness.
It seems to be.
Well, we're very, very busy. Not necessarily with the fact that, you know, it's tourist season, but, you know, working on next tourist season. There's a lot of really fun things going on and parts in play and new projects coming along, new websites and visitor center stuff going on. But
I've had some folks ask me about the canopy. Is it going to be a walking trail in Sequoia Park? Is it an elevated? Is it tied to the trees? Is it freestanding? Is it earthquake proof? Are they going to be able to secure it so there's no unwanted wanderers on it? I mean, there seems to be some questions starting, which means there's some recognition starting.
Sure. Well, first of all, we'll arrange to have Julie Benbow come to talk to you about it. But what I know about it is, I've seen, you know, the artist's concept, you know, and plans. It's really exciting. So to answer your questions, it will be tied to the trees. I mean, whatever the state of the art technology is for,
like the tree fort guy
for doing that. Yeah.
However he does it. Yeah. Okay.
It's extensive. I mean, it's many hundreds of yards worth of walkway up the canopy, and you know, it's 100 feet up something at least. It's very. It brings people right into the treetops of that whole experience, and it done on a par with the rest of that fantastic development that's been going on at the zoo. Is going to be professional with wonderful interpretation and experiences and things for kids to do. And the first thing we said when we heard about it at the Bureau was, oh, we can market that.
Does it come out of the zoo?
Yes.
That's where it originates?
Yes. The back end of that new Watershed Heroes area, and there's going to be some more, like bear and cougar environments or something, you know, local animals back there. But then there'll be a little interface area and sort of like the launching point.
And up you go.
And up you go.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. It's change. I would imagine this is seen by most people as positive change.
It's wonderful. And it joins other things going on, like the waterfront trail in Eureka. Things are happening in this town.
Positive.
Yeah.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers from the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau.
Perfect.
I snuck it up on you.
Thank you.
Tony, how do you market something that's new, that's big? Because that isn't anything that's been around for the Visitors Bureau and your efforts over the last 40 years or so?
Right. With something, well, at one point, I guess Redwood National Park was new and big.
Yeah, but it preceded the entity.
Right. It was actually like 3 or 4 years before.
Yeah. Yeah, and Redwood Empire Association, the old REA, really didn't focus on our end specifically.
No, no.
So if this canopy, or when this canopy occurs, I would think that that is one of a kind?
Well, not in the world. But
in the region.
Certainly in the region.
And through the redwoods.
Right. There are some places like down in Sonoma where there's zip lines in the redwoods. This is a different...
Whoa, look at that tree! Okay. But this isn't a Muir Woods. This isn't a Yosemite. This isn't some of those folks that have staked claim to redwood trees that are competition and competitive to what your message is. This is totally different.
It is. So, well, the simple answer is you spend money and you have to have resources. But it's just doing what we always do, figuring out who the market is and how they consume and access information, what inspires them, and then consistently hitting that message. Here's a great experience you got to come and try.
Is it a different target than the national park? Or do you know yet?
I don't know yet. I do not know yet. I know that there is a bit of a disconnect sometimes with our redwood messaging, where people like to think that they're going to go and be a great, jungle warrior, and do some crashing and bashing out in the woods. But then they end up, they pull up in the car, they see the big tree, say, "Oh, that's good enough."
Yeah, if half hour is good, an hour isn't necessarily twice as good.
Right.
Perspective.
So, yeah. so this is a experience, though, which gives them a longer interaction, something to do. By the time you've done it, you want to go to the zoo cafe and get some lunch. It really does sell a longer experience, right here in town. So then we can match it with something else, like, hey, then go and walk around Old Town and go to the Clark Museum, whatever.
See some other wildlife, go into Old Town?
Yeah. Some other big things.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So it's back to that rule of threes, what we talked about before. You got to give people three things to do, and then you've got a day. And that was really good. It's a good anchor for that, I think.
Is this a Eureka-centric, or is this a Humboldt County thing?
Well, we're all in it together. But it's remarkably that it's in Eureka, it's right in our backyard, so all the services, the lodging, the dining, it's all so convenient.
Well, I was thinking, just thinking here for a sec, which is about as long as I can go anymore. You've got the elevated walkway, you've got the Arcata Marsh, probably the same type of general profile, unless there's an age component to the canopy walk. Okay, and then you got beach,
mm-hmm.
or Redwood National, or Lady Bird. Kind of a regional thing, which I would suspect is probably a healthier one, rather than having everything focused in one area. So then, if it's full, people move on.
Sure. Well, it gives us options. Because people have different profiles, different lengths of stay. How do they fill one day up? How do they fill 2 days up, 3 days? If we have a one-day visitor, or even just the passing through visitor, then this is a great quick come and go hook, and hopefully making them a customer for life, which is always the goal.
I would suspect that you wouldn't have too many people just going through the zoo front door and going up on the trail. Probably going to wander around the zoo.
Oh, look at the otters and the red pandas.
Young, old, singles, families. I would suspect that that turns into an afternoon pretty darn quick.
I think so, too. And then, as I say, then by the time you grab a meal, go to the playground, maybe go for a walk through Sequoia Park, you know, bang.
Yeah, down to the duck pond.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
that gets opened again. Yeah. Is there, have you heard any progress on that at all?
I don't know.
You haven't found somebody to knock down the leaning tree?
They'll get around to it. The city's been very busy with other stuff, I think.
Yeah. I suppose. It's just kind of sad during summertime when the rest of the facility is being used that you can't drive down there because of concern about the tree bouncing and falling on somebody.
Sure. Yeah. No, I wanted to point out along those lines is that the other day I took my first walk behind the Bayshore Mall from Del Norte down to the other end by Shamus T. Bones. What is that? Hilfiger? No, it's whatever that road is down there.
Tomlinson plus one.
It was amazing. It's gorgeous back there. They have cleaned it up from top to bottom. The trail is beautiful, maintained, flowers all along it.
You felt safe?
I felt perfectly safe. There are middle-aged ladies with their dogs out there, not a care in the world. Kudos, man. And then also seeing that trail grow along Waterfront Drive as every morning, amazing.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers from the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Tony, this time of the year, you mentioned in the opening segment that it's more of a planning time while many businesses are executing the plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For the Visitors Bureau, it's more of a planning.
Sure.
For the next cycle out, whether it's the upcoming fall or next summer. Is the next cycle, other than the canopy walk that we were talking about, does next summer look like this summer, looks like last summer, looks like two summers in the future?
Oh, in general, yes. There's always more tactical stuff happening, which we have to respond to. As an example, there's a lot of concern and the beginnings of some data to back up that concern that we're seeing a softening in international travel, basically because a lot of other people are disgusted with America right now. It's not an issue of, the dollar's strong too, and that doesn't help international travel very much as well. But so we need to, plan forward and discuss what are we going to do to try and maintain our share of that market. Just
when you're planning, when you're targeting, does it matter where they're from? Or is the European or international traveler a lot more valuable than a domestic traveler?
They are more valuable in terms of just, length of their stay and the amount they spend. Obviously, the backbone of our tourism industry is domestic. In fact, it's Northern California residents are the backbone of our tourism industry. So that is where the bulk of our efforts are always focused on. But there is some low-hanging fruit out there elsewhere. Internationally, it has been the English-speaking countries which have been easiest for us to reach out to, obviously. To what Churchill said, two countries divided by a single language.
Yeah.
So it's UK, Australia, New Zealand have been very, very productive for us. And then some other, real hot spots.
Canada.
Canada. Yeah, those guys. Eh? And Germany's always been very productive, too, because just culturally they love our forests, and we always do very well there.
What about South Korea? I've talked to a couple of folks who said that, while it's still Korea, and Korean is, but South Korea is so Americanized also that there's a lot culturally in common. So it's not like with the Asian continent where there's different religious cultures, different ethnic cultures, the South Korea is much more in common than what a lot of people think.
Right.
Has there been any outreach to South Korea to maybe make that exchange with some of those areas that are further away?
Well, we are interested in that. We have to sort of bring along our partners because, we do these international markets with the North Coast Tourism Council. We couldn't afford to do it by ourselves. So we partnered with them and, California Tourism Office. But we've been getting reports about how the South Korean market are actually very active in places like Yellowstone, where they're just arriving by the busloads. So
yeah, flying to SFO or Oakland or Sacramento, and they're right there, but they're direct flights to Seoul.
Right, and that got our attention, because obviously if the American West and the National Park System, which is of course admired around the world, if that's a draw to them, well, we've got that.
Right.
And
don't have the direct flight thing though.
No. But San Francisco is a great gateway, and of course, South Korea is a major consumer of great white beer. You may not know that, but
way to go, Barb.
They sell a lot there, so yeah. We've got that going for us.
Yeah. Has Penn Air connecting McKinleyville to Portland opened up like we had thought might be the case? Folks coming into Portland or flying into Seattle.
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. But, it's early days, and we're actually just working with Penn Air and Fly Humboldt to do some co-marketing amongst the different partners in the route. Having the capability is the potential. Now we got to drive demand.
Execute the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that more challenging than what you anticipate the Canopy marketing will be?
No, not really. No, it's just a matter of figuring out the marketing basics, who your target audience is, and what makes them tick, and making.
Well, I would think the air flying community would be probably a pretty easy one to draw into. Is that a desirable profile? Those that travel either recreationally or for business with air, or through air travel.
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, it does assume a certain affluence. People who are going to fly rather than jump in the car, but also they might also be have more of a time deficit. So we have to figure out how to give them a great experience in a shorter period, and then make sure all the other pieces are there. I mean, we have to make sure that the rental car fleet at the airport is.
That's what I wrote down. Are we ready if they did come?
Well,
with the rental cars.
I've had some conversations with them, and they say that their capabilities are driven by demand, and that they can reposition from product from other places.
How about staffing?
If the demand is
of
there.
The counters.
Well,
yeah.
I assume that's the same answer.
Don't make too many assumptions, man. KINS News and Information Times 8:42. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, you mentioned this time of the year was oftentimes is planning. Well, when I do planning, I tend to either have to get out of Dodge or get out of the shop here just to avoid the interruptions, get new perspectives. What do you do?
We do that too. In the past, we've had board planning retreats, but this year was a little different. It's been a few years since we've been able to attend the main tourism destination marketing conference in California, which is called the California Travel Summit. It's put on by the California Trade Association, just the not Visit California, not the state agency, but Cal Travel is what it's called. And it's what you'd expect. There's a big room full of vendors, but there's also all kinds of breakout sessions
and seminars and stuff,
education seminars and inspirational talks and
What was your biggest takeaway?
Oh boy, the biggest takeaway: how marketing continues to change, and we got to get our heads around social media in a big way. And the up and coming, the millennial market, that's the only way to talk to them. They're not looking at new magazines. They're not really much watching TV.
Unless it's YouTube, Netflix. I guess video would be the reference.
So digital social media, boy, it's that we as a marketing agency have to become a content generating organization. It's not just enough to suck up what's comes across our desks and then broadcast it, which we do very well. We need to start creating our own content more and about this wonderful destination we call Humboldt.
So kind of be your own outlet, so to speak, instead of relying on others.
Yeah, and obviously we'll keep doing, keep using the best of what we find, but it's fast, and the channels and the opportunities are everywhere. We have to recruit more what they call opinion leaders in social media.
Decision makers. Influencers.
Yeah. So they're not necessarily a traditional media company. We're not going to buy an ad in Sunset Magazine. We are going to invite a blogger who has a huge following to come and see our destination and blog about it.
Yeah, the influencers are always interesting, whether they're media-based or not media-based, the ripples. Be like Mike. Nike kind of did that a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Be like Mike. Well, we'll be waiting for your tennis shoe contract.
Okay.
Thanks for coming by, Tony.
My pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.